Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We have
Walaikum
a
salam wa
storm.
rahmatullah.
We have a storm here, so I'm hoping that the electricity stays in the whole class. We were on 18 yesterday. We were on 18 of the baraka. Or at least someone told me there were 18. I didn't count myself. Let's go through it and let's run and get some today. Okay. So we were at the point where أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قالوا يا أبانا ما لك لا تأمنا على يوسف وإنا له لناصحون أرسله معنا غدا يرتع ويلأب وإنا له لحافظون. So in these two ayat, where they go to the father, it's Kalu, and they say, oh, our father, why don't you send Yusuf with us tomorrow? We are so sincere with us. Won't you trust us with him? Send him with us tomorrow so that he can play and get some fresh air and some greenery, you know, and we will protect him. So one of the barakas that you can learn from this ayah is that people tell on themselves. When they're all saying the same thing, then this thing has been pre-spoken about. Okay, and they've agreed to ask and to say these particular things. We want to, what do you call it? We want to take him. We will protect him. So this is really telling what their intentions are and what their intentions are not. That's one. So please write that down, 19. Or we'll be doing the ones we did yesterday. قال إني ليحزنني أن تذهبوا به وأخاف أن يأكله الذئب وأنتم عنه غافلون. Okay, from this, the response is, I'm afraid that if I send them with you, that you guys would go doing something and forget about him, right? And he would get eaten by a wolf, and you'll be unmindful. One of the barakas of this is that you don't give people proofs about something or reasons that you have if you don't trust them. This is what you can learn from that. If you don't trust them, don't tell them your reasons. So I don't want to do it. Because then they can use that reasons against you later on, as they did. Oh, it was just like you said. Oh, you were right. So don't give them your proofs if you don't trust them. That's still under 19. We're just keeping that because we did that one yesterday. قالوا لئن أكله الذئب ونحن عصبة إنا إذا لخاسرون. Again, and this one is a reiteration or emphasizing that people speak what's in their minds. Okay, so they said if a wolf eats them and we're this عصبة, we're this big strong group, then we'll be a bunch of losers. So two things: they see themselves as strong and they see themselves as losers. Okay. So this is coming out in their speech, or they believe their father thinks that they're losers, and is one of the reasons for their hasad in the first place. Okay, now we start with the new ones for today. فَلَمَّا ذَهَبُوا بِهِ وَأَجْمَعُوا أَنْ يَجْعَلُوهُ فِي غَيَابَاتِ الْجُبِّ وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْهِ. So it says, and when they had gathered together and they had decided to throw him in the well, so they already got him. They already agreed. This is what they already agreed. They snatched him up. Now they're taking him to the well and they're ready to throw him into the Ghayabatil Jubbi. We already know a Jub is a well that doesn't. So one baraka is that a Jub is a bi'run without any water. Ghayabatil Jub or a Ghayabatil Jub is a well, a dried up well that you can't see the bottom of it. And the benefit for this, why they wanted a well that didn't have a bottom in it, so there's two better kits already, is so that whenever someone came to look down there, they wouldn't see him down there before they threw their rope down there, because they wanted him to get pulled out, okay, so they can sell him. And the reason why the brother wanted to throw him in the well is so they wouldn't beat him up, because they couldn't sell him if he was all beat up. And he knew that they would get, he might die if they beat him up and atrahuhu fil ard and just exiled him into the desert by himself. He's only 10 years old. Okay? So killing him or beating him up and driving him out into the desert by himself are not good options. So he offers, hey, let's throw him down a well, meaning we can't hurt him. so that we can sell them a ghayabatil jub, a dark well, so that when someone comes, yaltaqithu ba'du sayyara, somebody in some caravan come by, will pull them out, yaltaqithu, from the word laqit, which is an Islamic term for the found person or a lost child or something that's been picked up and that someone else lost. Okay? يَلْتَقِتُوا بَعْضُ سَيَّارَةً إِن كُنْتُمْ فَاعِلُونَ. If you're going to do anything, and then they could sell them, so they're going to get some money from it as well. Okay? A dark bottom well, so they can't see down it. Okay? A deep, dark bottom well. Okay? So, and then another barakah, number 21 or 20, is that the Allah says, وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْهِ لَتُنَبِّئَنَّهُمْ بِأَمْرِهِمْ هَذَا وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ, that you will get out of this. So then Allah gives him inspiration. Allah, you know, gives him hope and lets him know this is not going to be your end. Okay? You will remind them of this later on and they won't even realize it. So that's another barakah, okay? That he knew from that point on that this is not going to be my end. And that gives him some motivation. That allows him to take it a little bit more. Not only that, from the different narrations we have, is that Jibreel came and told him, not only are you going to get out of here, you're going to get sold into slavery. And then when you get to where you're going, you're going to get sold again. But don't worry, Allah's going to take care of you. So he knew what was going to happen. This is when they pulled him out. He didn't refuse. Hey, let me get away from these fools, right? Let me get out of here. Take me. I'd rather go with the slave guy right now. I got another chance of doing something than these guys who are my brothers. And they, and even, so then there's another point here. The selling into the slavery was less hurtful to him than when they threw him down the well. Okay? When he was thrown down the well, they were his brothers. And he was totally unexpected by him. 10 years old, he's looking up to these guys. But when they sold him into slavery, there was relief. I'm out of the well, okay? And I'm with these people. At least these people are not, they don't know me. Even if they don't treat me, they put me in their luggage, you know? But I don't know them. I don't expect good from them. It's not as hurtful as from your blood, your flesh and blood. And then when they sold him into slavery, that didn't bother him either as much as it did when his brothers threw him down the well. So the being sold the first time and the second time was less hurtful for him than being thrown down the well by his brothers, that whole fatiha. Okay? So that's another one or two we can go through. فَلَمَّا ذَهَبُوا بِهِ وَأَجْمَعُوا. Okay. وَجَاءُوا أَبَاهُمْ عِشَاءً يَبَكُونَ. Again, this is showing their hypocrisy. They go to their father late at night time, okay? And they're crying. Why late at night time? We can't go search for him. On the barakah is why they waited late at nighttime, so they couldn't go out and do a search party for him at nighttime. It's impossible. It's too dark. You got flames. It's not the same thing. Okay? Yabakun, they're fake crying. So they're hypocrites acting. Okay? This was totally planned out and specific. They came back late so they could claim they were looking for him and that they could not go out and then look for him again. Number two, they're hypocrites, munafiqun. I can't say the English word so much anymore. munafiqun, because they are crying with all in front of their father who knows them, with their hypocrisy, pretending. These are two things.
قالوا يا أبانا ما إنا ذهبنا نستبق وتركنا يوسف عند متاعنا فأكله الذئب.
And they tell him the same story. This reiterates, this point here is a reiteration of the point. Talkeed, that you don't tell your someone you don't trust your fear or your reasons, okay? When you don't trust them, because they will use them or they can use them against you. And this is ta'kid of that point. This is re-emphasizing that point. Okay? So that's an extra barakah when you get a point reiterated.
فَأَكَلَهُ ذِبْ وَمَا أَنْتَ بِمُؤْمِنٍ لَنَا وَلَوْ كُنَّا صَادِقِينَ.
They knew he wouldn't believe them. Okay? This line shows us, وَمَا أَنْتَ بِمُؤْمِنٍ لَنَا. We know you don't believe us. Even though we're being truthful, okay, even though we're being honest, they're lying. When people say, I swear by Allah, I swear by Allah, someone who has to swear by Allah without being asked to doesn't believe himself. Naam. Ibta'idu law samahtum. Doesn't believe himself, okay? Because he has to swear by Allah just so that you can listen to him. He tells himself, I swear by Allah. Why'd you swear by Allah? No one asked you. Right? Go away from my door. Idhabu. Law samahtum. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. So someone who swears or has to declare their truth is usually lying without being asked to. There's this older in the military, they say, I'm going to tell you a story and this is no lie. Usually that's a lie. Okay. Usually they say, man, I tell you, this is no nonsense. Check. It was like that. And they making up the story as they go along, something like that. So, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, we know that we don't do that. Your word is your bond. Speak. Say your truth. But when you have to emphasize that it is truthful, normally either you don't trust yourself and or you know you're not being truthful. So you want to add to the strength of your argument by adding I know you don't believe me, but this is the truth. I swear by Allah. Okay? I swear on a bunch of, you know, the Kufar say on my mother's grave, on a bunch of Bibles. They make a whole bunch of things up to strengthen their argument because their normal argument is not strong enough to withstand the truth. Whereas a truthful person just going to tell the truth. He doesn't need to swear on his mother's grave. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وجاءوا على قميصه بدم كذب قال بل سولت لكم أنفسكم أمرا فصبر جميل والله المستعان على ما تصفون. He says, وَجَاءُوا عَلَىٰ قَمِيصِهِ بِدَمٍ كَذِبٍ. And they came, وَجَاءُوا عَلَىٰ قَمِيصِهِ. They brought his shirt and he had lying blood on it. بِدَمٍ كَذِبٍ. Okay? قَالُوا, يعني, sorry. قَالَ بَلْ سَوَّلَتْ لَكُمْ أَنفُسُكُمْ أَمْرًا. So now he looks at the shirt. They present the shirt as this is proof. Look, is all we got left is his shirt. Okay? That's the only thing we found was his shirt. And he looks at the shirt. He sees the thing drenched in blood, but the shirt's totally intact. Okay? So then he knows for sure. بَلْ سَوَّلَتْ لَكُمْ أَنفُسُكُمْ أَمْرًا. So from this, you can know someone is lying and still not know what happened. Okay? سَوَّلَتْ لَكُمْ أَنفُسُكُمْ أَمْرًا. He doesn't know what they did. Okay? He doesn't know the reality. But he says, I know you guys have made this up. I don't believe you. So the barakah is you can know someone has lied to you or someone's have lied to you, but not know the truth. The next barakah is, what do you do about it? For sabrun jameel. So the only thing you can do in this regard is be patient. Okay? Right? The shirt was bloody but had no rips in it. So this was proof that they were lying. So he knew. So the next proof is, I mean, the point with that proof is that you can know someone is lying but not be able to understand or know what exactly happened. The next thing is, the barakah is that when you don't know, the only thing you can do is have sabrun jameel. Sabrun jameel, what is it? Sabrun jameel is sabrun without shakwa, wala jaza. Okay? Tashakki wala jaza. Meaning that you without complaining to humans. Okay? That's number one. One part of sabrun jameel is not complaining to humans. Okay? Let me make it clear. Not complaining to anyone but Allah. Okay. Well, jaza is like going overboard with your external expressions. Okay. Like people pulling their hair out, you know, or people beating their face, ripping them their shirts and just going crazy, throwing things. And that's not, you know, breaking things. That's not the sabrun. That's jaza. Okay. But without jaza is controlling yourself. Like he said, he was enraged, but he was swallowing. He's controlling it. He's keeping it from exploding. That's sabr. Okay? So, I'm sorry, that's sabr in Jamia. Wala tashakki wala ajaza. Okay? So, I messed up a point. He said, what do you call it? I'm sorry, let me go back one. They said, we left him, the habna wa nastabiqu. Nastabiqu. Okay, so the ulama stop at this particular point. This way was stabiqu. They said, we left him, tarakna Yusuf inda mata'ina, and we went to go run. So al-sabaq al-musabiqa is yajuz. So another point to add here is that going to race and compete with one another is lawful. Okay, horse racing, whatever, any type of competition was, you know, is called musabiqa. Any type of competition that yu'inuka ala jihad, that will help you in jihad, is lawful. That's one of the points. We left Yusuf and we went to go run and compete with each other. So this is perfectly lawful and you can get a reward for it. Okay, meaning you can say, okay, someone's going to get $100, whoever's the best wrestler, whoever's the best bowman, the best gunshot, the best horse rider, whoever is this, who can swim the best. Any of those, as long as yu'inu ala jihad wa nashruddin. Wa nashruddin, put that on 31.2. Wa nashruddin, spreading the deen. Okay? It's not just jihad, because jihad is spreading the deen. So they liken it in two ways. One is jihad, the fight, the physical fist and knuckles. The other one is jihad, the spreading of the deen. Any competition that you do in competing that helps the spread of jihad and the spread of the deen is lawful. And this is why they can give you a reward for Quran competition, for learning Arabic, for learning aspects of the deen and these things like that, as well as for swimming, horseback riding, archery, and things like that, okay? So that's one I had forgot. We have to go back to that, okay? Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. The other rule is that anything, any games and competitions that do not help with the Nashruddin, okay? And what do you call it? The spread of jihad are not lawful and should be avoided. Some say they're aqsa, okay? Because when they include in spreading of the deen, they include in that anything that would help humanity is spreading the deen, because the objective of the deen is to take you to the highest point of humanity. So becoming a doctor, becoming a lawyer, becoming a writer, and any of these things, teachers, anything, what do you call it, a welder, garbage man, any of those things, yu'inu ala humanity, they help humanity. This is also can be rewarded in competition, because it benefits the ta'um al-baraka of the general society. But these things that do not, now what are the things that do not? Sports games. Basketball does not help you. Does not help the society, does not help the body to do anything with the spread of it. So these things should be, you know, ignored and avoided. And some say they are haram because they are a waste of time. Okay? Wallahu a'lam. Okay? Because there's ikhtilaf about where they lay it in that. Okay? So let me go in here. And you see, this line here is again proof that complaining to Allah is not outside of sabr. Okay? Wallahu al-musta'anu ala ma tasifun. So he says out loud, and Allah is the knows best. The Allah is the one's going to help me, you know? is going to bring help with regards to what you guys are describing. So he doesn't believe them. He says something out loud to them, but it's a dua. It's an acknowledgement of Allah's help and the one that's going to solve the issue. This does not take you out of sabrun jameel. Complaining to Allah and making dua and acknowledging that only Allah has control does not break sabrun jameel. Ayyuh, alhamdulillah. وجاءت سيارة فأرسلوا واردهم فأدلى دلوه قال يا بشرى هذا غلام وأسروه بضاعة والله عليم بما يعملون. He says, وجاءت سيارة. So then while he was in there, there does come to him a سيارة, a caravan, and he throws down his dalwa, he throws down his bucket, right? And he comes out and he brings the boy. Ya bushraha. But so the next barshar is, the next point is al-bishara. What is al-bishara? Al-bishara is a ikhbar, is to announce some good news or some bad news, okay? This is the meaning of bishara, is to an announcement of good or bad news. Okay, well, Allah says, وَبَشِّرْهُمْ بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ, and give them the glad tidings of a painful punishment, right? So he said, when they say, يَا بُشْرَ هَذَا غُلَامٍ, look at this great event, we got this boy, okay? وَأَسَرُّهُ بِضَاعَةً, and they hit him with their luggage, with their bida'a, with their wares, right? So that they know anybody else can come and claim him or anything like that, they can get him in the city and they can get some money for him. Okay, so that's the reason why they hid him. It wasn't on their list of wares. And you get questioned when you go into the city. So they hid him so they can get him in and sell him on the black market, which they did. Okay, so washarauhu bithamin baksin. Where am I at? Okay. وَشَرَوْهُ بِثَمَنٍ بَقْسٍ دَرَاهِمَ مَعْدُودَةٍ وَكَانُوا فِيهِ مِنَ الزَّاهِدِينَ. There's two points here. وَشَرَوْهُ. The word شَرَوْهُ in the Arabic language means to buy and sell. Okay. So here in the ayah, when it says وَشَرَوْهُ, they bought him and they sold him. So الشراء, الاشتراء in Arabic language shows to buy something and to sell something. Both. Okay. But you see, bithamanin baksin darahima ma'dudatin wa kanu fihi min az-zahidin. They didn't think much of it. They didn't think much of him. Why? Easy come, easy go. So there's a next qa'da. Something that you don't work hard for, right? You don't work hard for, even though it has a good price, you know, it might be worth, you sell it for a cheap price because, you know, just want to get rid of it. You just want to get something for it. Okay? So when people don't work hard for something, they'll get rid of that thing for less than its value. Okay, that's something. The other thing is the major sin of buying and selling someone you know to be free. Now, the men who took him, they didn't know that he was a free man. Okay, the boys are saying that he's a slave, but the boys, the sons, they know that he's a free man. So the point here is the hirmana, the haramness of selling a free person, and you know it. Okay? Okay, yeah, when you don't work hard for something, you don't value it. So they were zuhad. We don't really need this thing. We want to just get rid of it. Let's get something. Give me a few odd dirham. Give me a couple bucks. Anything. Okay? It's more than what I had. أيوة مشره بكرم الزايدين وقال الذي اشتراه من مصر لامرأته أكرمي مثواه عسى أن ينفعنا أو نتخذه ولدا وكذلك مكنا ليوسف في الأرض وليعلمه من تأويل الأحاديث والله غالب على أمره ولكن أكثر الناس لا يعلمون. He says here, وقال الذي اشتراه من مصر لامرأته أكرمي مثواه. So the story goes on. He tells the one who purchases him, which is the Aziz, he takes him home to his woman, his wife, and he says, hey, honor this guy. Perhaps we get some benefit from him, or we can take him and adopt him as a son. وَكَذَلِكَ مَكَّنَّا لِيُوسُفِ الْأَرْضِ. Okay, Allah, so the point here is Allah did not allow him to be raised in, yani, how can I say, humiliation as a slave. So the benefit here is that Allah put him in a house of izzah so he could be raised in a house and know how to be an aristocrat and know the ins and outs of the well-to-do of that society, of the government. He's being raised literally in things under the auspices of the education he got as an aristocrat in that home. Okay? And the other point for this particular ayah is Allah says, we put him in his place so that he could learn. وَكَذَلِكَ مَكَنَّا لِيُوسُفَ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلِنُعَلِّمَهُ وَلِنُعَلِّمَ And in li is li k, in order to نُعَلِّمَهُ مِن تَعْوِيلِ الْأَحَدِيثِ, in order to teach him the interpretation of events. So Allah put him there so he would be learning. Okay, how to understand this. And Allah, wallahu ghalibun ala amrihi. And so the next point is that Allah was in total control of what was happening to Yusuf. Ghalibu, meaning always conquering, always winning, having the overall say of what's going to happen to this world. Walakinna aktharan nasu la ya'lamun. But most people don't realize it. Most people don't. They think that we're in charge. I liked it when I was so-and-so. I was more in charge. You was never in charge. Okay? We're never in charge. Allah is ghalibun ala amrihi wa amrina, over all our affairs. However, most people don't get it. They don't understand that. They don't know it. What's the benefit? Turn to Allah and ask Allah. Always tawakkal Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Always trust Allah. Always ask Allah. Because he is the one that is ghalibun ala amrina. Right? The conquering one, the deciding one in all of our affairs, and no one and nothing else. No matter how it looks like. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen.
ولما بلغ أشده آتيناه حكما وعلما. وكذلك نجزي المحسنين.
Again, the word muhsinin is put inside a number of times in this surah, and that's a barakah of the surah. It keeps inclining and telling you that this is about being ahl ihsan, doing excellence and being amongst the people of ihsan. That's one barakah. The constant mention of how we deal with the muhsinin and how they recognize him to be a person of ihsan. This is one thing. Another thing, it says, وَلَمَّا بَلَغَ أَشُدَّهُ آتَيْنَاهُ حُكْمًا وَعِلْمًا. Allah tells us that, I'm sorry, one of the points that ulama mentioned here is that a child that is raised up in the ta'a of Allah, the ta'atullah, when he becomes an adult, he will have حُكْمًا وَعِلْمًا. He will have gained, he will get knowledge and authority. Okay, he will be able to make understand the ahkam. He'll be able to make hukums, you know, and he will have ilm if he's raised under ta'a, under the obedience of Allah. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Please write those down. وَكَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And the proof of that is when he says, وَكَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي الْمُحْسِنِينَ. This is the way we do all the people who have ihsan. He doesn't, يَخُصُّهُ, doesn't say this just for Yusuf. Is for all, and that's the reason why that hukum is for any child that's raised up in the ta'a of Allah, ta'atullah, he is a muhsin, and that is how Allah gives them hukman wa ilman. May Allah allow our children to be raised in the ta'atullah, and may Allah give them the reward of the muhsinin. Ameen.
وراودته التي هو في بيتها عن نفسه وغلقت الابواب وقالت هيت لك قال معاذ الله إِنَّهُ رَبِّيَ أَحْسَنَ مَثْوَى إِنَّهُ لَا يُفْلِحُ الظَّالِمُونَ.
So here in we get to a point here. I'm going to say a few things. Let me put my book down. Well, I'm going to have to look at the book so I can remember where I'm at. He says, وَرَوَدَتْهُ الَّتِي هُوَ فِي بَيْتِهَا. So now we get to the point where the wife, he becomes a strong man, right? And young man, let's say he's 20 years old because he's been there 10 years, and he gets his ashuddahu. The woman wanted him. She desired him. She got him into the place. She gave him the da'wah. So the first point is kaydul mar'a, the plots of women. Okay? In normal situations, when it comes to making zina, the woman is the initiator and not the man. And it's for this reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wazaniyatu wazani. He starts with the woman zani and not the male zani. So the wisdom here is kaidul mar'a, why Allah proceeds with wazaniyatu wazani. The woman first. Why? Because the man is afraid to initiate a call to a zina to a woman who has not given him a signal that she's open to that. Okay. Now we know this is different from the slough in the street, the people who are just see women and they catcall. They're dangerous, yes. And some of them are not dangerous. They're just harmful to your ears. I'm talking about those who have the opportunity, the actual opportunity. You know, when they're interacting with people, this is, a very big problem, right? The woman has to give a sign that she would be accepting for that type of call, or the man would be afraid that she would raise the alarm as soon as he said something to her and expose him, and he would be in trouble. So that's one thing. The other thing is khuturatul khalwatun nisa, the danger, the extreme danger of being alone with a woman, okay, in the same house. Yeah, that's what I mean. Being alone with a woman that's not your mahram in the same house. Okay? That's, she has to give subtle or unsubtle signs. The subtle signs are in her clothing. The subtle signs are just how she dressed and presented herself, you know, that day. And that's what we see the women out there, with the clothing that articulates, I'm open. You know, and I might even be a prostitute. You know, that's what some of the clothing says, you know. So, you know, that's the subtle sign. The other signs are, you know, her body language, and these things like that. Okay. The tone of voice and everything. So in this particular ayah, the ulama mentioned about 15 things. I don't think I can remember them all, you know, but I'm going to tell you the ones that jump out to me. Okay, so the first thing is that she wanted him. That's number one. Okay, she wanted him, and what he called it, he was in her house. Okay, let me see. She wanted him. That's number one. Huwa fi baytiha. She was in charge of him. In his house. I'm sorry, in her house. Fi baytiha. So she's in charge. It's her house. And she wanted him. An nafsihi. Okay. The other thing is that he's a young man. Okay. He's a young man. She's beautiful. And she's beautiful. These are two very difficult things for a young man to control himself from a beautiful woman who's in charge. He's in her house. He's in her private areas. She locked the doors. Okay. And then she gave him the signal. Come and get it. Okay. It's yours. It's like, you know, hey, have your way with me, big boy. You know, this is, do what you like. So she's saying all these things. Okay. The other thing is her husband trusted him. He says that by saying, Ma'ad Allah, innahu rabbiya ahsana mathwaya. Yo, this guy is my Lord. He's talking about Allah and he's talking about the owner, the man. Look, you know, he's treated ahsana mathwaya. He's treated me excellently. How can I do this? How could I? Right? No one who is a zalim is ever going to be successful. Okay, but that's, let me put that to the side. Her husband trusted him. Now I'm going to go a little bit further. The other thing is, later on, she gets the other women. I'm trying to remember my thoughts. Sorry, guys. Later on in the ayah, she gets other women to help her and to support her in getting at him and saying and encouraging him to go ahead and have a zina relationship with her. Number, I don't know what number I am in this one, but she also threatens him with prison. I was trying to remember. She threatens him with prison. She said, if you don't do it, I'm going to send him to prison, right? Okay, so all these things. And after all of that, he still doesn't do it. Mashallah, right? After all that, he still maintains his manhood and his honor, and he doesn't do it. وَلَقَدْ هَمَّتْ بِهِ وَهَمَّ بِهَا لَوْلَا أَرَّأَ بُرْهَانَ رَبِّهِ. So here it says, the next point is that Allah helps his slaves in the heat of the moment. Allah allowed him to see رَأَى بُرْهَانَ رَبِّهِ, the proof from his Lord. And we don't necessarily know exactly what it was. We can only assume, okay? What the assumption is that he saw what was said in the Israelites is that she went before she got naked, was that she took her clothing. Actually, when she took her clothing, she covered up her idol in the room. Okay. And so she was ashamed to do it in front of the idol. When he saw that, he said, well, you know, Allah is more befitting for me to be shy in front of than her with this idol, you know? So that was what he saw. Wallahu a'lam. But this, I believe that as well, because it says ra'a. And the word ra'a in the Arabic language is hissiyan. So you see, it's written with a ra hamza alif and not a ra hamza alif maqsura. Whenever ra hamza alif comes in the Quran, and it comes 11 times in the Quran, it only means physically saw. Where whenever it comes ra'a with the hamza and the alif maksura, it means qalbiyan. He saw what is, you know, ma kadhab al fuad ma ra'a. And you see it's ra hamza alif maksura. It's this vision of the heart. And that only comes twice in the Quran. Okay? But ra'a with the hamza and the alif, 11 times. And each time it means physically, what he physically saw. So this is why I hold, and other mufassirun hold, that he literally saw her do something or saw, and this was the burhan of his Lord. And he was able to hold back in. Because he's a cat, he was about to fall victim. Lawla an ra'a, if he hadn't seen that particular proof. Okay? So, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, lawla an ra'a burhana rabbihi. Okay, so the next point is, كَذَلِكَ لِنَصْرِفَ عَنْهُ سُوءَ وَالْفَحْشَاءِ إِنَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا الْمُخْلَصِينَ. Two more points. Even after that, no human, not even Yusuf, not even a prophet, can do anything, survive the attacks of shaitan, can avoid su' and wal-fasha except by the help of Allah. He said, because they said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah says in the Quran, كَذَلِكَ لِنَصْرِفَ عَنْهُ. We turned it away from him. I made sure that he did not fall into su' wal-fasha. كَذَلِكَ, you know, this is how we help the إِنَّهُ كَانَ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا الْمُخْلَصِينَ. He was one of our, you know, one of my chosen sincere ones, mukhlasin. So that's the other point, that he was min ibadin al mukhlasin. He was one of my slaves that was specific and mukhlasin. Okay, the ones that I specifically chose. And there's a difference between mukhlis and a mukhlas. A mukhlis person, like my name is mukhlis. Mukhlis means sincere, straightforward. Okay, mukhlas is someone who has been chosen and purified, okay, specifically for a particular job. That's the only thing they're going to do, mukhlas, okay? And that's why we have ikhlas, okay? And then when they use the term ikhlas, they say purity and unity and these type of thing like that, okay? So, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. I don't know what number we are at that, but I would like to stop right here. I lost my spot. Let me. Oh, here it goes. Now, I will stop here at ayah 24. Okay? Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. I hope that's enough. How many did we get today? We're in Ayah 24. How many did we, what number are we up to? How many fawaid did I give you guys? No one wants to tell me. Will someone tell me how many barakah we did today? Okay, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. We did at least 20, huh? Inshallah ta'ala. Jazakumullah khair. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. You know, jazakumullah khair.